18, please. This will be the last message in a series we've been doing on the I Am's of Christ. There are seven in the book of John. Seven I Am's are in the book of John. Those seven are found from chapter 6 through to chapter 15. Actually, this is the second to the last. The first is, I am the bread of life, Jesus said. And of course, whenever he starts each one of these with the I am, it's a reference clear back to Exodus chapter 3, where God met Moses at the burning bush and told him that he was going to deliver his people. And Moses asked the question, who will I say is sending me? And he said, I am hath sent you. Then he said, I am that I am. It became the marker name for God. Anyone in Israel would have understood that phrase as meaning God. So when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he was saying, I, God, am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I, God, am the light of the world. I am the door. I, God, am the door and the only door. I am the good shepherd, John 10. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11. And this morning, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then next week, I am the true vine. So John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 is an interesting chapter. John 14 is a chapter from Christ to the disciples with the intent to comfort them, to bring some comfort to their heart. Chapter 13 of John is the upper room. The disciples are gathered there. And several things took place. He told them that one of them was going to turn against him. One of them was going to deny him. And they asked who it was. He said, the one that I dip sop with. And he did that. And then he said, whatever you do, do it quickly. And Judas went out, but they still weren't sure. They were a little fuzzy about it. Jesus also explained to them again, both in chapter 12 and 13, that he would go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. In fact, five different times in the Gospels, he tells them that. That he had to go to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hands of the elders, and be killed, but he'd rise again the third day. And somehow that escaped them. They weren't sure. In fact, in the Matthew account, Peter is so upset about Christ saying that, that he rebukes Christ. This can't happen to you. This can't be true of you. You can't. This, Jesus didn't have a death wish. Jesus had a responsibility to fulfill the plan of God. And that plan led him to a cross. And so chapter 13 is coming to an end. They're still in the upper room. Chapter 14 begins. They're still in the upper room. And Jesus says to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Then he says, "And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas, always the doubter, said, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest." We don't know where you're going. "And how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through me." This 14th chapter is an interesting chapter. They're told to lay aside their anxious hearts. They're told in this chapter early to look to God for their care and comfort. They're to put their faith squarely on God the Father and God the Son. He says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." Let me say it, if I could say it in the vernacular. If you believe in God, then you must believe in me. I and the Father are one. Amen. If you believe in God, you must believe in me. We are the same. After telling them of this promise, he then says, "Whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Now, for a moment, would you just look at your text and let me ask you the question, if Jesus were saying it to you, "Whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Is there anything in this text that tells the answer to that question? Absolutely. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He said, "Whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." He was explaining part of that to them. And Thomas, really as a voice for the rest of them, said, "We don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way." And in a very real sense, they did not. They still were struggling with who Christ was, what he meant by some of the things that he taught, what he meant when he said he was going to die. Was that literal? What was he talking about? And then in this verse, he opens a new chapter to them of their home in heaven, and that he must go there. But when was that going to happen? How was that going to happen? How could they know? And so Jesus, looking at the disciples, clears up any misconception they may have had up to this point about who he was and what he would do and where he would go. Verse 6 gives us three statements of deity. Three statements of deity. He is God. Notice the first statement. He says in chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, all God's people said. When he says, I am the way, he's saying, in essence, I and I alone am the way. You need to get that. There aren't many ways. There's one way. I am the way. Which would be contrary to what the Pharisees and scribes taught, that their teaching was the way. Their additions and traditions were the way. When they were not the way. All the law could do is show you that you were insufficient and that you were a sinner before God. And you could not in your best day keep his commandments. They were our schoolmaster, Paul says, to finally lead us and bring us to Christ. They were looking at it as the rule by which they should live and which would relieve them of their life and take them to heaven, when in fact it could do nothing for them. And so when Jesus said, I am the way, it was completely contrary to what the Pharisees, the scribes, and the priests were teaching. I am the way. Number one, it's not the law, all God's people said. It's not in the offerings that they gave. It's not the work of the high priest to pardon their sin completely. All he could do is cover it for 1 year with the blood. It was not in keeping the feast days, and they kept them so correctly. It's not in tradition or a compilation of work that they must do. Certain cleansings, certain washings. It was in none of that. When Jesus looked at his disciples and said, I am the way, he was saying, none of that is the way. There's only one way. Jesus is absolutely the only way. We used to sing when we were little, one door and only one. And yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, and which side are you? There's only one door. Amen? There's only one way to heaven. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There's only one way, and Jesus is the sure way. He's the right way, all God's people said. Aren't you thankful that we can go to him, bow our knee to him, see him as the need meter for our life, the one who can sustain our soul and forgive our sin, and invite him into our life, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's the right way. He's the only way. You've heard this, and it's become more prominent in these days. There's lots of ways to get to heaven. Lots of ways. We're just going a little different way, but it's okay. Our way is good as your way. No. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the only way. I don't know why today we want to compromise that position. Well, they're doing their best. Well, they're not bad people. Well, I may not understand everything about them, but God is a God of love. And I'm sure he's going to let them all in. No, there's no universal salvation. There's only one way to get saved, and that is by and through Jesus Christ. No matter what men teach today about that, if they do not teach this, they are wrong. Well, one thing about you Baptists, you think you've got the only way. No, no, we don't have the only way because we're Baptists. We have the only way because of the book. I don't care what you call yourself, but if you're not following this book, these words, this person, you are not going to heaven. I've done 200 funerals in my lifetime, maybe more. And I've actually had people come to me and say, Reverend, I know you don't know my brother or whoever. Now, he wasn't a very good man. But if you could just say a few words that might, maybe that God would, you know, that could get him maybe into heaven. You could just say a few things about him. I feel so sad in those points. So heartbroken about that. Because these people that I'm talking to were Christians, at least they were professed to be. They had their whole life to tell their brother about Christ, the only way. And at the very end, they wanted somebody to hopefully push him in. Christ is the only way. The second statement says, I am the truth. We have today a philosophy that says there is no absolute truth. In fact, there are no absolutes. The truth is relative. How many know what that means? It means simply put, that what's true for me is my truth. What's true for you is your truth. So there's no standard of truth. It's whatever you think to be true is true. Now, a society wrapped up in relativism has no standard. If there is no standard, they can never find truth. Christ is the standard. You measure everything by Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, the truth. Jesus is the final and complete revelation of God. Jesus is the final and complete revelation of God. When you look at him, you see God. When you listen to him, you hear God. When you watch him, you see the work of God. He is the final revelation of God. When he said, I am the truth, he was saying, I and I alone am the truth. He speaks truth. He lives truth. The Bible in John says he's full of grace and truth. The reason the people have a problem with Jesus is because they believe truth is no longer absolute. They have no standard on which to base it. Everything Jesus said was true. Everything Jesus did was wrapped in truth. What Jesus said would happen, will happen. Jesus said in this passage, I'm going to heaven, I'm coming back to get you. That's absolute truth. All God's people said. Now, if you're saved and you're doubting that, and someday you're going to be taken up and you're going to be wondering what's happening. God keeps his word. Jesus tells the truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And a few verses later he said, and if you're free, you'll be free indeed. Truly free. These people that were doubting Christ were not free. They were encumbered. They were trapped. They thought works and performance and doing would get them to heaven, and none of those things can get you to heaven. You must come by Jesus Christ, and that's the truth. Every time Jesus opened his mouth to speak, you were hearing truth. Jesus was truth incarnate. He spoke the truth because he is the truth. All God's people said. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. Then he said a third thing. Said, I am the life. I and I alone am the life. you wouldn't breathe today apart from Christ. He is the one in whom we live, listen, whom we live and move and have our being. You get life from Christ. Christ is the absolute author of life. He's the sustainer of life. You're not going to breathe one more hour, one more minute in this life if Christ does not allow it. He sustains that life. He's the giver of life. And I think he's the promise of life everlasting. Amen? He's the one who came to give life. And in John 10, he said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. How on earth did he do that? Born of a virgin. Walked 33 years sinlessly on this earth. Went up to Jerusalem. Arrested. Mocked. The worst of all kinds of trials. Beaten. Bloody, nearly to death. Taken to a hill outside of the city called Golgotha and hung on a cross. And as he hung on a cross, it's amazing to me, the first words out of his mouth were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The cross is the great forgiver. And as he hung there, Christ became sin for us. God had to turn away his face from looking upon him. Remember, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? During those hours, he became sin. He took upon himself every sin you or I or anyone else would ever commit. Past, present, future. He became sin for us when he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ became our sin bearer. He became the one who would deliver us. He became the one who would free us. He became the one who would be the promise of life everlasting. John 1:4 says, in him, Christ, was life. John 3:16 promises that if we put belief in him, we will have everlasting life. John 6:47, he that believeth on me, Jesus promises, hath everlasting life. John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus said three dynamic things I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Well, what's the standard? How does that happen? How do you get to God? How do you get to the Father? He ends this chapter, this verse in chapter 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to the ending. No man comes to the Father but by me. No man. I'll do my best. Not good enough. I promise to give every week to the church. Keep your money. It's not good enough. I'll go to church every service. That's not good enough. You must realize you're a sinner and that there's only one way, only one source of truth. There's only one giver of life. And you must go to that one who will pardon your sin. And take you to heaven when you die. No more tears. No more sorrow. Neither any more death, for those things will have passed away. The disciples, just a few chapters later. Saw the risen Christ. Fellowshipped with him for 40 days. And then he ascended into heaven. And I love that statement. The angel looks at them and says, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, this same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven, and he's coming back again." As sure as we're sitting in our seats, as sure as you're hearing this message, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, is coming back. And we'll be with him forever. So you might as well get used to this, being around believers, because you're going to spend eternity with them. Amen? What a joy that will be. When his face I shall see, I long to see Jesus someday. Amen? He's the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, help us to love you, be thankful for you, and recognize who you are. You are God. Our way, our truth, and our life. God, help us to trust you, follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.